Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. And we're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. And if you've missed any programs, you'd like to go back and catch those, you can find them at kpcg.fm or at thetrumpet.com. Podcasts are available there or wherever you like to get your podcasts, places like iTunes as well. And that's for all of the programming here on KPCG. Well, the Bible is full of life-changing truth. It really does change people in amazing ways. But as you've probably heard before, it's a common expression, knowledge that isn't applied is of no value. And so we can hear something and it's really good information, but then if we don't apply it, it doesn't have value for us. So when we study the Bible, our challenge is to apply what we learn. And it's a lifelong challenge. Lifelong Bible study has that challenge built into it. Okay, studying the Bible is wonderful. Now, will we take the next step and apply what we learn? That's the challenge in it. And so when you study your Bible, and especially if you're using something like the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is a great course to really guide you through your studies, when you do that, you can see what God is doing with mankind. What's the purpose to what's happening on this earth? And the Bible shows the solutions to today's problems. And we've just continually see more and more problems creeping up and man trying to deal with them the best that they know how, the best that they can think. And then usually there's another problem and another one that gets added on top of it where, in fact, the solution ends up being worse than the original problem. And in fact, is no solution at all. The Bible shows us God's way to solve problems and really solve them. The Bible shows the way to joy, to lasting happiness and success. Those are things that everybody wants. There's countless help books, self-help books, different programs that people watch online that are trying to help, you know, improve different aspects of life. And there can be some value to some of that, but the Bible really gives the foundation of how to have that lasting happiness and success and joy. And if you think about the Bible in terms of an investment, it's an investment that pays off. Most investments, at some point, lose a little value to them. Sometimes people lose all of their investment. It's hard to know. What do you invest in? Well, God's Word is a sure investment. It's a sure investment. God's truth is always applicable, and it always brings good results. It's the best investment that any of us could ever make. Let's notice a few passages discussing the value of the Bible and studying it and applying it. And if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out. We could look at these together. Let's start here in Romans 11. Romans 11 and verse 33. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." So a really exclamatory statement here. If you're reading along, you see that there's exclamation points throughout this passage. And so there's just this incredible depth of riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. You know, how deep is it? How deep is the knowledge of God? Well, you can just keep going through it. And as it says, it's unsearchable because the more you get into it, the deeper it is. You know, we could skip a stone across the top of God's knowledge, so to speak, you know, just read a little bit here and there and say, yeah, that sounds pretty good. But the more we dig into it, the more depth there is. How deep does it go? Well, it just keeps going. It's unsearchable. The more we invest our time and effort into studying God's Word and then applying it. And so you could compare Bible study to something like digging in a gold mine or a diamond mine or an oil well, I guess. I don't know. Anything that produces a good return on investment. And if you owned one of those and you knew that you could go dig in there every day and you'd increase your monetary value, I think you'd go dig in there every day. I would too, probably a lot, because we want to increase what we have. We'd want to increase the amount that we take out of that mine. Well, again, Bible is that way. It's that way. The more we dig into it, the more we apply it, the more that we understand, the more of God's mind that we have, and the deeper and deeper we see that it goes. It never runs out. You know, mines that are physical, they usually run out of resources at some point. But God's word doesn't. It's unsearchable. Just keep digging into it. Just keep digging into it. We don't want to take God's truth for granted. And the truth is that the majority of the world is blinded to God's truth. They don't understand it. Their minds aren't open to it. And so they don't value it. There is information even on, say, a physical level that's extremely valuable, say, to an engineer. But if you're somebody that's not an engineer and you don't understand the math, it doesn't seem to be all that valuable. You could look at a whiteboard and say, well, there's a lot of numbers. I don't know what that, you know, it has no value to me. But somebody that's a trained engineer could say, oh, that's very valuable for the project that I'm working on. We have to understand it to appreciate the value in God's word. And so if you're studying the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course and your mind's opening to God's truth, don't take that for granted. Really value that. And keep digging into it. Most people who believe that they are religious are actually not following the right teachers. That's a really common thing to have happen. There's many religious people in that sense, but they're following wrong teachers. Notice this in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now that's a very deep truth. You know, when people tend to think of Satan, I guess, if they think about him much at all, they, you know, think of him as being, you know, quite evil, which would be correct. But he doesn't appear that way. He is transformed, it says, into an angel of light. That's what the deception is. Christ talked about that in Matthew 24, false religion. It'd be false religion where people would come and talk about Christ and say some things that sound pretty good, but it's not the truth of God. And they would reject some very important truth and deny it. Christ warned about that. That's a great deception. And many people are under that deception to where they think they are actually following Christ. They are actually Christian. And in fact, they're following teachers that are not Christ's teachers. They're not Christ's ministry. So there's a warning there that as we dig into God's word, we have to make sure we are digging into it the right way. And we're digging into it using valuable resources like the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, and proving all of the truth of the Bible and following the right teachers, the teachers that are teaching the whole truth of God. The Correspondence Course says, "But God has begun to remove the blindness from some." So some people's eyes are opening to the truth. It says, including you. If you're going through this course, if you're listening to this program, and chances are that your mind has been open to God's truth, or it's opening to God's truth. And of course, God has to do that. But it says, God has begun to remove the blindness from some, including you, through his church that is preaching Christ's gospel of the kingdom to the world. So Christ said that he would, you know, found his church, he'd raise up his church, and the gates of hell would never prevail against it. The gates of the grave, it would continue. It would continue to always exist, although be small. So you do have to know where God's church is. that church that is preaching that true gospel message to this world that includes prophecy. There's a lot of prophecy in there, and of course a lot of Christian living. It encompasses everything, that gospel message, the good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God. How does that kingdom come about? How do people live in that kingdom when they're born as God beings? And that's part of it too, being born as a God being. Right? There's so much there that has to be taught. And again, it's laid out in this course. It says, to those of you who have taken this course and whom God is calling, Christ says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is. And so, again, we don't want to take it for granted that we can dig into the Bible and understand it. And then the challenge is, okay, let's apply it. And God expects those who he calls to be converted. And conversion is a process, right? It takes time. It's a daily renewing of one's mind to think and act like God. Studying the Bible is essential to, again, having our minds be renewed daily, daily Bible study, daily prayer, so that we begin to think more like God. Notice this in Romans 12 and verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so, again, there's an action step here, several action steps. We do have to make a daily choice to study God's word and then to let it change us and to apply what we learn and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove it. And we prove it by applying it and then seeing it work. Seeing it work. And so here in Romans 12, Paul lays out the daily choice we all have to make. Each one of us, it's an individual choice. It's between us and God every single day. And the choice is, will we conform to this world, which is the natural sort of lazy path? Will we think and live like this world does? Go with the flow, whatever the new entertainment is or the new excitement in this world, will we do that? Or will we choose to draw close to God and really strive to think and act like God does? It's a daily choice. See, it's not a one-time decision. It's a daily choice. And really, it's a moment-by-moment choice sometimes. Which direction we'll go, and we have to make that choice. God impels us to choose. To choose, right? He told Adam and Eve, if you're two trees, two ways of life, you have to make a choice. And of course, God gives us all the help that we need. And as we've been discussing here, God has to call people in the first place. But then we have to make some choices. We have to make some choices as to what we will do daily and moment by moment. We need the power of God's Holy Spirit, of course, to have the mind of Christ in us. The course says that one becomes a Christian upon sincere repentance, belief in Jesus Christ, and in the gospel of the kingdom of God, baptism by immersion, and the receipt of the Holy Spirit after the laying on of hands. At that time, God's Spirit enters one's mind and joins with the Spirit in man. That is when the person begins to be converted. See, it's just a beginning, right? It's a process. It's a begettal. The spiritually begotten mind then begins the process, it says, of being changed or renewed spiritually, and godly character begins to be created. And then it's a process. You know, there's a perfect picture there of human birth. And we know that the human baby isn't there all of the sudden. It grows. It takes time, 9 months usually. And at first it doesn't look like much, a few cells, and then it grows and it develops. And as you look at it, you know, they have the different videos out there that you can see the development of a fetus. And, you know, it begins to take on different features, you know, ears, eyes, nose, fingers, toes. And eventually, if everything goes well, then it's born as a human being. Well, spiritually, we're in that begettal stage, right, to where we're growing, we're developing. inside of the church, inside of the womb, the mother. And we're not born yet, not spiritually, but we're growing. But you know how it is. If something goes wrong in that process, then typically that fetus doesn't make it. Right? If the food supply is cut off, it stops developing, it stops growing, and then, of course, it couldn't be born. So we don't want to cut off the spiritual food supply. We need daily prayer, daily study, of course, God's Holy Spirit, after baptism, flowing in our lives. We don't want to cut off that flow, because otherwise we don't grow. Right? We won't grow if we cut off the flow of God's Spirit and don't dig into his word daily, and we just, you know, go, as Paul said there, well, just be conformed to the world. Well, that's not being transformed. So it's a daily choice that we have to make. Notice Ephesians 5, some more specifics here. Ephesians 5 in verses 15 through 16, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." So I don't think you have to be convinced of that the days are evil. You know, you see it on the news all the time, same as I do, that there are problems out there and they're getting more and more serious. So we're told here to redeem the time. And again, we're thinking about how important it is, and we're looking at how important it is to study God's word, to dig into it, to draw close to God. And of course, we need God's Spirit in our minds, revealing what the word means, opening our minds to it, and understanding what's been taught through the apostles and the prophets. God reveals through apostles and prophets, and then he has to open up people's minds to understand that truth. And of course, it all is in the Bible. We dig it out of the Bible. And we do that more and more and more as we see the days get more evil. The days become more evil, and we're told in Ephesians to redeem the time. And it has everything to do with the way we conduct ourselves and what we're doing. The Last Hour book, which is free at thetrumpet.com, and is written by Trumpet Editor-in-Chief, Mr. Gerald Fleury, he writes this. He says, "How do you manage your time? How urgent are you in organizing your time? We all need to get motivated to do more. We have less than an hour left." And he's talking about the last hour there in 1 John 2 and verse 18. And that's, prophetically, last hour. And that began on May 5th, 2001. And you can read the details about that in that book. So there's a lot to get into there. But we're focusing on the time aspect, right? We were told in Ephesians 5 here, look, redeem the time. Mr. Fleury says 1 John 2 verse 18 puts time up on stage as the star. We are running out of time. Things can change very quickly. We can run out of time very quickly. And so we need to be redeeming the time, digging into the daily Bible study, really going to God in prayer, and applying what we're learning. Notice this in Proverbs 1, verse 5 and verse 7. It says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. The fear of the eternal is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So we always see two paths. We see two ways. There's the way of the wise and there's the way of the fool. And the fear of the eternal is the beginning of knowledge. But if somebody's foolish, well, they despise wisdom and instruction. Well, what do you suppose they do? Do they spend their time studying the word of God? Well, of course not. They despise it, so they wouldn't even want to look at it or hear it. But if we're going to be wise, we really have to fear God and study his word. So why is the fear of the eternal the beginning of knowledge? Why is that so important? Well, a proper respect and reverence of God means that we will find out what he wants us to do, and then we will do it. We'll study God's word, and then we'll apply it. We'll have that proper fear, that respect for God and his word. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong, he had this type of attitude towards God. He feared him, and he dug into God's word very in-depthly, and then he applied it. He applied what he was learning. Mr. Armstrong wrote in his autobiography, he said, "The opening of my eyes to the truth brought me to the crossroads of my life. To accept it meant to throw in my lot with a class of humble and unpretentious people I had always looked upon as inferior. It meant being cut off from the high and mighty and the wealthy of this world to which I had aspired. It meant the final crushing of vanity. It meant a total change of life." That's the value of God's word if it's applied. A change of life, a total change of life for Mr. Armstrong. He says it meant real repentance. "For now I saw that I had been breaking God's law. I had been rebelling against God. It meant turning around and going the way of God, the way of his Bible, living according to every word in the Bible, instead of according to the ways of society or the desires of the flesh and vanity. It was a matter of which way I would travel for the remainder of my life. I had certainly reached the crossroads." Mr. Armstrong, you see, he actually feared God. He really did. He did God's will. He looked at God's word, as we just read about there in that quote, and he saw, okay, I have to apply this. I have to live this way. And he knew what that meant. That meant being different than the world, because the world doesn't live according to every word of God. And Mr. Armstrong knew that that meant a real change. Very few are willing to do that, but he did it. What does God think about that? Well, notice this passage in Malachi 2, verses 5 through 6. And this is talking about Mr. Armstrong's office. You can read about that in Malachi's message. Again, that's free at thetrumpet.com. God used Mr. Armstrong to do a powerful work. You know, God has seven church eras. Mr. Armstrong was on the scene during the Philadelphia era, and he was used to raise up that era and finish it and complete that era and do incredible works in that era. And notice what God writes about him and his attitude here in Malachi 2, verses 5 through 6. It says, "My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name." In very practical terms, we just read about that in the quote from the autobiography of Mr. Armstrong. What does it mean to be afraid before God's name? It means that he read the truth of God in the Bible, he dug into it, and then he applied it. And then he applied it. Verse 6 here, Malachi 2, it says, "The law of truth was in his mouth." You know, how did he get there? Well, he read it. And of course, God opened up his mind to it. "The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me," God says, "in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity." He taught other people what he was learning, and it helped them too if they applied it. And so what do we make of all of this? Well, we have a limited amount of time. We all do. The world is getting more intense with the pressures, and we know that there is a time when Christ returns to stop mankind from destroying himself, and that's not too far ahead of us. But just physically speaking, you know, we do live and we do die as well. Within the span of a human life, we have a certain amount of time. We don't know exactly how much, you know, whether we live up to the return of Christ or we don't. We have a limited amount of time, and we're preparing for an eternity in the kingdom of God. But in this limited amount of time that we have to learn to really fear God. In practical terms, it means study God's word, dig into it, and apply it, as Mr. Armstrong set us an example of doing. We are studying what God says in his word. That's what we talk about on this program. That's what you go through in the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. It's the study of God's word. So then we have to make a decision on what we're going to do with it. Will we apply it? Will we use it? Will we put it into action? If we really fear God the way that we should, and we're growing in that, that means we'll continue to dig into God's word and we'll apply what we learn. And then it really does change our lives in an incredible way. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. If you're not signed up for the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, make sure you do that. Also, you can read Malachi's Message and The Last Hour, two books that were mentioned on today's program. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.